Amen. Well, without further ado, Pastor Jason Noble is here with us this morning. How many of you seen the movie Breakthrough? Raise your hand. Yeah, clap. How about that? Clap if you've seen the movie Breakthrough. Yeah, really an emotional movie. Well, we are blessed to have Pastor Jason Noble as actually someone who attends this church. And he was the pastor in that movie, although not the actor, but the real life guy. So Pastor Jason, will you come on up? Awesome. Yeah, let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Roger. It's great to be here this morning. How many of you are excited about what God's doing in your life? Anybody? Amen. And if I could just get a little more monitor on the stage, that would be great. I'm so excited to be here. I was actually supposed to be here in February when we had that snowstorm. Everybody, the one snowstorm I think that's ever happened in Medford, maybe on a Sunday that canceled church, I think Pastor Tim told me. And so we've been out on the road promoting the movie. I think I was home 2 days in the month of April and May. And so now we get to be home a little bit and excited. I actually do go to this church. Some people wonder, like, have I ever seen you before? Yes, I've just been out on the road a ton. So I'm honored to have my wife Paula here today. Paula and my girls, Audrey, Julia, and Avi, and my son Ryan. They're a blessing. What an incredible journey. We moved to Medford about a year ago from St. Louis. And I want to tell you something. Don't ever take your weather for granted. Every morning you should get up and thank God for living in Medford, Oregon. I'm telling you that right now. I do that every morning. I'm like, God, thank you for letting me live here. Thank you for the beautiful weather, even in the smoke. We're praying no smoke this summer, right? Amen. And so it's great to be here, though. We've enjoyed living in Medford. We were pastoring in St. Louis before that. And I can tell you right now, St. Louis is a great object lesson for hell in the summer because it's so hot and humid. I mean, so we're so glad to be here. And it's been so amazing to see what God has done with the movie Breakthrough. I'm so glad you loved it. I'm so glad you went and saw it. I want to tell you two things about that movie. One, Joyce and I actually never had any conflict. So if you've seen the movie, there's all that conflict. Basically, what had happened with that, it was a composite character where they brought us together. And we were facing those things in our church. I was a young pastor coming into a 90-year-old AG church and changing things around and causing a little bit of upheaval. And the other thing I tell people all the time when we sit in those meetings, I would never walk into a women's ministry meeting and pull the schedule off the wall. You do not mess with the ladies, all right? And so that's something that I tell people all the time, that those things are Hollywood, they're made up. But man, for the most part, it was an incredible miracle that God took us through with John Smith. It was an incredible thing to be on the front row to watch God do miracles and watch God break through in powerful ways. And it's been amazing to see the doors that God's opened with the movie. We've been in places that I would just be blown away. I mean, the Today Show with Megyn Kelly, Dr. Oz. I mean, just across the board, we have been able to share the fact that we serve a God who can still do the impossible. We serve a God that still breaks through. We serve a God that when you call upon him, he shows up. And the world is hungry for that. And I can tell you this, the church is hungry. You and I, we're hungry to see God be the kind of God that breaks through again. Today, I want to tell you, if God can do it for John Smith, he can do it for you. If you have walked into this place today and you need God to break through your family, your finances, your maybe your marriage, I don't know what area of your life that you're needing God to break through. Breakthrough was a movie that showed us all that God still can do it. God can still do the impossible. And some of you, you've walked into this room and today you're just saying, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. And as we talk about breakthrough in the church, I think what we sometimes think of is we think that the Christian life is this nice package wrapped up in a bow and everything's wonderful. But I want to tell you, there are difficulties in being a Christian. There are difficulties that we walk through. There are calls like they got yesterday with Pastor Hill, where life turns upside down in one moment. And what do you do? Do you fall apart? Do you let fear and anxiety keep you captive? What do you do? As believers, we should be overcomers. We overcome these things. But I want to talk today about how we do that, some real practical ways to see breakthrough in our lives. January 19th, 2015, I got the call. John Smith, a 15-year-old boy in our church, had fallen under the ice. He was under for 15 minutes when they pulled him out. And I want to tell you, there's a couple pictures of books up there. We have the story, the real story today with us here. And then we also have the teaching lessons that I'm going to talk to you about for a little bit. We have those books here if you'd like to get them. I can tell you the book is just so much deeper than the movie. The movie scratches the surface. But as you get in and you find out what God does, because as we walk through all of this, our goal has always been to help people to see that God still breaks through. That God can do incredible things for you just like he did for John. So I got that call. He was under for 15 minutes. Nobody lives underwater for 15 minutes. They pulled him out and they worked on him for another 45 minutes, an hour and 8 minutes altogether. This little 15-year-old boy was dead. And they got ready to call time of death and they invited his mom, Joy Smith, who is an Assembly of God, Holy Spirit, tongue-talking lady who walked into that room. And she walked into that room and she grabbed his feet. You see, Joyce is a grandma. She's 67 years old. They had adopted John from Guatemala when he was 5 months old. She walked into that room and in a split second, she had a split second decision to make. She was either going to say goodbye or she was going to walk in and grab that boy's cold feet and call out on the Holy Spirit. And she walked into that room and in a split second, she called out on the Holy Spirit and she said, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. And at that moment, that very moment, his pulse came back. His oxygen came back. He was alive. And listen, friends, I'm telling you what happens in the split moments of our lives. What we do when we get that call, what we do we fall apart? Do we just accept what the doctors are saying? Do we just accept what the reports that we're hearing? Or do we stand up and say, Holy Spirit, save my marriage. Holy Spirit, save my finances. Holy Spirit, change this situation. What do? He was still brain dead. The doctor said about a 1% chance that he would make it. If he made it overnight, he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. People do not make it. They do not live. In fact, they've searched for 3 years after this with John and could not find another case like it around the world. Walked in the room. That's when I got called. And I walked in the room to this boy who was brain dead. We took a group of pastors in the room. And we started praying. We started praying, Lord, restore his. There were two things, his lungs and his mind. Lord, restore his lungs, God. Give him lungs. Breathe the breath of God into his life. And at that moment, I turned around and I saw two angels in John's room that were floor to ceiling. And those angels were there, ready to go to battle. I'd seen those angels in his room 4 years earlier in Port Angeles, Washington. With a lady who was 85 years old, I'd gotten the call. She had 15 minutes to live. She was in a coma. She was dying. Her daughter called me and said, Pastor, my mom is on the edge of eternity. If she dies, she doesn't know the Lord. She'll go to hell. Will you come and pray for her? And I came and I prayed for that lady. She was gray. She was in a coma. And I started to pray. And I got down by her ear and I said, ma'am, like, this is it. You're on the edge of eternity. If you want to accept Jesus in your life, squeeze my hand. And I just go, Lord, I hope this works. I heard that some people have tried this. I hope it works. And I felt this faint little squeeze. And as she squeezed my hand, I turned around and in that room, there were two angels. Those same two angels were floor to ceiling that were in John's room at that moment. And all of a sudden, her color literally started coming back into her body. Within 15 minutes, all of her numbers were normal. She woke up and she said, I've just given my life to the Lord. And her life was changed. A day later, she walked out of the hospital. And I knew that God was in that room with John. I knew that all of a sudden, as I turned around and I looked at John again, he overbreathed his respirator. And his eyes opened, his shoulders kind of came off the mat. And I'm going, okay, God, you're doing something. And of course, the nurses love to say, oh, that's typical. That's just what they do. Don't ever go by what the doctor's reports are. You can't go by what you see, but what you know. You know that God's working. You can feel it. And you can sense his spirit. We continue to pray, Lord, restore his brain. I mean, we were praying crazy prayers. I want to tell you, sometimes we got to pray crazy prayers. Sometimes we got to get serious and start praying crazy things. And we said, Lord, you are the creator. So if you created heaven and earth and you're still creating today, you can recreate John's mind. You can touch his mind. And all of a sudden, over his head, I saw a million colors, rainbows. Like God was just Like literally, my kids always make fun of me, but it was literally like God was knitting his brain back together again. And at that very moment, he opened his eyes all the way. His shoulders came off the mat and I knew I saw life. And it would still be the next morning when I came in. I came into the hospital that next morning and it was so interesting. I looked at John and he was still in a coma. And the doctor said, oh, there's still no hope. And I'm like, no, I know what God did in that room last night. I know this is what we're going to stand. And I told John's mom, I told Joyce, I said, John will walk out of this hospital. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know he'll walk out of this hospital. I just know it. I know it. And she said, yes, he will. And he'll be playing basketball when he walks out. And that's exactly, you saw it. That's what happened. 16 days later, after an incredible series of miracles, John walked out of the hospital completely healed. It's a great story. But if that's all it is just a story, then it needs to stay on the big screen. But here's the thing. It's a story about our God who can do it for you if he did it for John. If you wonder if God is still working and the Holy Spirit is still alive, that is a 20th century Fox movie where they paid $20 million to get that movie done to share the message of the Holy Spirit with a world who is desperate and lost. Do you wonder? God is still on the throne, and he's still moving in powerful ways. And one of the things the Lord really spoke to our hearts, by the way, this movie begins to stream on this week, July 2nd. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Amazon. On the 16th, it comes out on DVD. There have been millions of people who have watched this movie. There was a church in Grand Rapids that had 2,500 people go out to the theaters. Over 200 people got saved in the theaters as they watched this movie. It's about helping people to see that God can still do the impossible. You have walked in here today. You're here for a purpose. God moved this date for a very important reason for you to know that if you need a breakthrough today, I believe your breakthrough is coming. I believe that God is here. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Amen. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're walking through, my prayer for you is that hope will fill your heart. And that you can walk out of here knowing that God can do incredible things. And here it is, friends. We need a supernatural God to step into our natural situations. We need God to show up. We need breakthroughs to happen in our lives. And every time you see breakthrough in Scripture, every time you see miracles in Scripture, there's always a human component. God uses human components to see breakthrough. You and I, we play a role. If you're praying for God to break through in your situation, you play a role in that breakthrough. God chooses to partner with us. And today I want to talk to you in our closing moments. What does it look like to position ourselves for a miracle? What does it look like to line ourselves up with God and say, God, if I need a miracle in my life, if I need a breakthrough, what do I need to do? Listen, so many times we get busy telling God what we want him to do. God, I need a breakthrough in my life, and this is how it needs to look, and this is how it should play out. And God goes, nope, I have a different plan. And so here's the thing. I'm not advocating that we tell God what to do. I'm saying, God, we're right beside you. We're going to partner with you. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to believe in who you say you are. I'm going to see you break through this situation. So much of the time we're focused on the outcome rather than the process. And I want you to know God takes us into seasons of challenges because he wants to change us as much as he wants to change the situation. So how do we walk through these times? How do we position ourselves for a miracle? It's such a great picture. When Joyce walked in the room, she was desperate for God to show up. There's got to be a desperation in our hearts. Folks, I think the church in America, we've lost our desperation. And God becomes the last thing we go to rather than the first thing we go to. And in fact, some of you might be here today and you're saying, man, my life is going pretty good. Everything's going great. I don't need a breakthrough right now. Listen, we are always in one of three spots as believers. We're walking into a challenge, we're walking out of a challenge, or we're right in the middle of a challenge. We are walking out of a situation that we need a breakthrough. We're in the middle of a situation that we need a breakthrough, or we just need God to show up. And in these times where you might say, man, everything's great. These are the times you need to be getting ready for this next season of your life when you get that call. These are the times. In fact, Joyce had 6 months before this story had been doing a Bible study called Believing God by Beth Moore. And God was pouring into her life 6 months ahead of time, getting her ready so that when she walked into that room, listen, so many times we try to build our foundation in the middle of the storm and you can't do it. You have to build your foundation before the storm comes. So right now, if nothing's going on in your life, praise God. Thank you for that. Thank God for that. But then God helped me to prepare for those times when I do get that call or when life turns upside down so you don't fall apart, so that you can position yourself for God to use your life to do miracles. Every single miracle in the New Testament, there's always a human component that God would use. Somebody that would line up their hearts with God. God chooses to partner with you and I. When you're walking through times that you're needing God to break through, whether that be a health issue or a financial issue or a marriage issue or a family issue, whatever it is, he wants to partner with you to see breakthrough. So how do we do that? How do we line ourselves up just like Joyce did? Do we fall apart? Do we allow fear and anxiety? I want to tell you, as a church, in the big sense of the word, fear and anxiety is taking over the church. Where we need peace and hope and the things that God promised us, we are living with fear and anxiety in this society at levels that have not been seen. I mean, like the fear and anxiety, I hear believers talking about they've got so much fear and they're, you know, and I'm all for the medicine if you need medicine for fear and anxiety, but I'm more for freedom. I'm more for freedom, that Jesus can bring freedom from any fear, from any anxiety, from the things that you're walking through. He wants to bring freedom to your life, and we can bring that and see that freedom when we line ourselves up with him. God wants to bring freedom in our lives. And for so many people, they've lived with things called chronic. Maybe the doctors have said, well, you have fibromyalgia. You're just going to have to live with it. Really? Why do I just have to live with it? Didn't Jesus come to set me free and bring healing? Well, I've got autism, or I've got this, or I've got that. I've got allergies, or, you know, these things that doctors try to put on you. And I tell people all the time, don't own that stuff. It's not yours. It's not your allergies, or it's not your chronic disease. It's not yours. The enemy's bringing it into your life to rob, kill, to destroy. And we can take freedom over that and say, Jesus, I need breakthrough. I need breakthrough. I'm not just going to live with the things that have been spoken over my life. We've got to break through. I'm here to tell you that God is still in the healing and the miracle business. Whatever you have walked in the room with today, God is still in the business of setting people free. God's still in the business of bringing freedom. Are you with me today? Amen. Whom the Son sets free is what? That should make us jump up and down. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's so true. This morning, I want to share with you some things that God's taught us while we've walked through this whole thing of breakthrough. And God really, I really feel like God said, hey, put this in to almost like a field manual. That's what we did in this book, a field manual for so when you need breakthrough in your life, these are the principles right here. This is what you do when you get the call. This is how we walk through that right from Scripture. And I don't think we talk about it enough. Because I think what happens in the church world is we sit and everybody comes into a sanctuary on Sunday. Everybody thinks life is perfect. Everybody thinks we're all perfect. And and if they have something wrong in their life, then they're wrong. But the reality of it is every one of us have parts in our lives that we need breakthrough. In fact, when I talk to congregations across the country, I've been shocked that when we've given the altar calls, 90 to 100% of the congregation has come forward in churches of 2 and 3 and 4,000. They're saying they need breakthrough. And today I'm here to tell you that God can break through no matter how difficult it is. It's amazing how life can get turned upside down. We've talked about that. It's amazing how one call and how you handle that. Do you fall apart in despair? Do you fall apart in anxiety and fear and worry? I believe that you can shut down God's working in your life by how you respond. You might go, well, how's that, Pastor? Look at Matthew 13:58, when Jesus, he'd been doing miracles all around wherever he went until he got to his own hometown. And Matthew 13:58 says, and so he did only a few miracles there because of their, what? Unbelief. Belief is a key component to seeing God break through. And I'm not talking about just saying it. But I'm talking about believing it down to the core of your body. Do you believe that God can heal? Do you believe that God can bring freedom to your finances? Do you believe that God can heal your marriage? And I'm not talking just lip service. If you say, oh, yes, I believe that, but then in your heart you're like, well, I think he might be able to. Or I think he might be able to. No, it's God, listen, we know you can heal John. We know he's going to walk out of here. It's having, and people are shocked at that kind of belief. People are shocked. You know, I've had people ask me that when we're doing interviews. Did you really, none of you guys had unbelief? Like, you know, like they're shocked that we stood firm. And that's where we have to be at today, church. We've got to stand firm with what we know about our God. We've got to stand firm no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what goes on around us. We have to stand firm in our belief. We have to stand firm with that saying, God, we believe in who you say you are. For a miracle of breakthrough to happen, God partners with us. He includes us in that process. It's Christ. It's so important that we see God in the perspective of who he is, because when those crises come, our perception and our perspective is going to be how we respond to them. And for some of us, we need to have a perspective change. We need to take the glasses off that we've been looking at life. And it might be that you've looked at life in disappointment. You might say, well, God, I prayed so many times and nothing seems to be happening. And all of a sudden, that perception has been what's taken over and you've lost hope. You've lost faith. Today is a day for a new perception, a new perspective. Literally take those glasses off that you've been looking through life and say, Jesus, I need your perception on this. I need your eyesight. I need your perspective on what I'm walking through. We play a part in all of this. And if we respond with an attitude of faith and belief and prayer and expectancy and desperation and determination, I promise you God will move. John 14:14 says this, yes, ask for anything in my name and I will do it. How we respond is so important. And I'm not talking about manipulating the outcome, but how we respond, how we stand firm, how we hold on. And I want to tell you, in growing up in the assemblies and growing up in the church, I've always heard people say, well, I guess maybe they just didn't have enough faith to see that happen. And I want to tell you, I think that's the way the enemy beats people up. Because if you look at Scripture, there's a difference between faith and belief. And we haven't talked about this much in the church world. But I think there's a difference between faith and belief. Faith, you're given, you know, I always say this, faith is like knowing there's a gym. I know where there's all kinds of gyms in Medford. Okay, belief is like actually going and working out, all right? Which I don't necessarily do that, as you can tell. You know, I'd much rather go to Starbucks and you know, have a donut. Anyways, faith is knowing where the gym is. Belief is actually working it out. Faith is knowing that God can do it. Belief is actually partnering with him to see it happen. Why do you think in Scripture so many times when these miracle times came up, Jesus would say, it's because of your belief. Belief is what we can build. Belief, getting into his word, getting into his promises, that's what we build. Do not let the enemy tell you you didn't have enough faith for God to move in your situation. Because Scripture, when the disciples asked Jesus for more faith, what did he say? You either have it or you don't. And we're all given a measure. So go after that belief. Start building that belief in your life that God gives you promises. And that Scripture that says, yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it, will come alive. The enemy loves to try and convince people, though, that God is not good and that God is not working in your situation. In fact, I've heard people in times when they're needing breakthrough, they'll come and say, I'm just so mad at God. Don't be mad at God. God is not the one who came to kill and steal and destroy your life. That's the enemy. And so many times what happens is the enemy loves to point a finger and put a smoke screen to God and pull you apart from the person you need the most. You need God to come and help you. If you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at the devil. Be mad at the enemy because he's after your life. And then step back and realize that if the enemy's messing with you, that means that there's potential in your life and he's afraid of you. There's potential in your family. Some people always say, well, you know, I prayed and things got worse. Well, why do you think that is? Because the enemy knows the kind of potential you have. He knows he's going to try to go worse and try to make things worse so he can, you know, this isn't working, so I'm going to try to go worse and try to, he's trying to cancel the assignment that God has in your life. And we need to cancel his assignment. We need to put him where he belongs. he comes along and he tries to stop. Another thing that I think is so interesting when it comes to talking about the enemy, how many of you have heard that scripture? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That doesn't mean the weapon's not going to be formed. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be looking at the weapon straight on. It kind of reminds me of North Korea. Remember when we were going through that whole thing with North Korea and they build these bombs and they take off and they're duds. I go, that's like what the enemy is. That's like that scripture. We can see the weapon formed, but that doesn't mean it's going to prosper. So stop giving it any kind of thought time in your life. That weapon is not going to prosper. That thing that the enemy's trying to do in your family is not going to prosper. That health issue that is trying to crop up in your life, it's not going to prosper. And that's where we have to stand on it and say, God, I believe in who you say you are. I believe, God, that you can do incredible things. So what do we do? And I want to give you some really practical principles. How do we line our lives up? How do we position ourselves for a miracle? And I'm going to go over this really quick, and I'm sorry for whoever's translating. I know I talk fast, and so get ready. Here we go. All right, if you want more information, pick up the book. No, that's not, it's a shameless plug. No, but it's good. I wouldn't tell you. I'm not here to sell books. I really don't care. Key number one, here they are, okay? These are principles. First of all, we have to speak life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And in fact, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want to ask you, if you are speaking negative over your life and over your situation all the time, why do you expect God to do anything different than what you're speaking out? There is power in our words. And we live in a society today where we throw words around like crazy and we don't think that they matter anymore. But do you realize the power of life and death is in your tongue? What comes out of your life shapes the atmosphere of what's going on. Go back to Genesis. God hardwired this in to our world. When he created the heavens and the earth, what did he do? Did he do it with his hands? Did he go, well, I'm going to put... No, he spoke it into being. He spoke it. He hardwired the power of our words into this generation. And Ezekiel, when God said, speak to the dry bones, when he said, these bones are going to live again, he said, speak to them. The power of life and death is in our tongue. And I happen to wonder, for people that are walking through difficult times, if they've spoken so much negative over their life that that's the fruit that they're seeing happen. Now, I'm not trying to get on anybody's case, but we've got to speak life. We've got to speak life out of our mouth. The power of life. And it's so hard to do. We need to say, Holy Spirit, help us with our words. We've got to speak life over the people around us, over our children, over the people, over our friends. I've been reading the book of Joel, or Job. I guarantee you, that's not an example of speaking life over friends, right? But I want us to think, listen, your friends don't need to hear reality. Some of you go, well, I'm just a realist. I just have to tell them what I see. They don't need to see that. They already know. They need somebody that's going to come along and encourage them. Let's be a church that encourages. Let's be a church that speaks life. Let's be a church. In fact, today I speak life over Pastor Hill. Right now, I speak that his heart would be completely restored. I speak life. Right now, we're going to speak life over this situation in the name of Jesus. We're not going to speak death. Start speaking life over your marriages. Start speaking life over your finances. Start speaking life over your children. You might have children that are lost and they're far away from God. Stop telling God, they're just lost and we're so worried. No, in the name of Jesus, they're going to be saved. Scripture says that sons and daughters are going to be brought back. We're going to start speaking life over our situations. You might go, Pastor, what does that mean? Like, I like to get real practical because this message starts when you leave and go home tomorrow morning. When you go to work. In fact, some of you need to start speaking life over your coworkers. You've been speaking death at work, and you wonder why that whole atmosphere is yucky. You got to start speaking life over your coworkers. God has you at that place for a purpose. In fact, God has put you, I'm prophetically sensing, some of you wonder why God has put you where you're at, because your job is to take every one of those coworkers to heaven with you that you possibly can. So stop speaking death over your employee and your employees and your boss and all of that. You might go, Pastor, what does it look like to speak life? Here's what it is. It's not the blabbing and grabbing stuff. Some people, you know, is it that? No, it's taking God's word and speaking it out over your situation. Taking his promises. So what I always tell people, if you're walking through a difficulty in your finances, go into scripture and take every scripture you can find about finances, write it down, and then start speaking it out over your situation. I promise you, if you're speaking God's promises, you're not going to have time to speak the negative. Okay? Key number two, pray specifically. Yes, ask for me anything in my name and I will do it. Start praying specifically with John. Literally about 7 days in, we got to the hospital and there had been prayer requests going around the world on Facebook. You can go back and see the Facebook strings. And we got there and the doctor said, listen, his lungs, we think there's infection in his lungs. And we started to go, okay, God, like you told us you were going to clear those lungs out. And anybody that lives in the Midwest, there's infection there. Because you like nobody's lungs are sterile. You breathe in all the pesticides, all the stuff that happens. And so he had the high fever. So we literally sent a prayer request around the world. Pray for John's lungs. He needs healing in his lungs. Like God, and we believed that Monday that God had restored his lungs and given him new lungs. So we started praying that. And within 4 hours, the doctors walked in and they said, his lungs are completely sterile. Like there's no sign. He went down in the dirtiest lake water in the city and his lungs had no sign of it. Completely sterile. They're totally fine. They were shocked. How about we start there? Lord, we're going to start in prayer. Lord, you're who we need. God, we desperately need. We start there and then everything else. Live desperate. Key number five, don't give up and don't give in. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Will you say, God is with me? God's with me. Say it. Speak it over your situation. God, you're with me right now. When I walk out of here today, you are with me. It's not just here where God is at. God, you are with me. No matter where you go, invite God to come in and be a part of your situation. Don't give up. Especially when things go from bad to worse. Especially when you get that negative report. Don't give up. Don't give up. I've heard people that have started tithing before Pastor Roger. They start tithing the very first week. And we've had a tithing sermon or we talk about it. And they're like, okay, God, we're going to trust you. And they literally the next day they call me and go, I got the biggest bill of my life. I stepped out and I trusted God to tithe and got the biggest bill of my life. And my question back to them is, why do you think that is? Because the enemy knows the kind of blessing that's going to happen in your life if you're continue to be faithful. And I'm telling you, don't give up. God is going to take care of it. And he does. When things go from bad to worse, don't give up. Key number six, wait expectantly on God's timing. Listen, God's timing can be so hard. It can take a long time when God's working. The thing is, we serve a microwave. We serve a crockpot God in a microwave world. Let that sink in for just a minute. He takes time. He's got eternity to work this thing out, not just 70 years. All right? He's got eternity to work this out. Live by what you know. Key number seven, live by what you know, not what you see. Don't go by the doctor's reports. The doctors don't know everything. There's a reason why they are practicing medicine. All right? They're going to tell you, well, this is what we think. And they always give you the most negative. And literally, we told the doctors in John's room, we said, listen, you are not allowed to speak death over John. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear negative. Well, don't we need to hear the reality of where he's at? No. Because the reality is, our reality was that we served a healer. Our reality was that this boy was going to walk out of the hospital, and I didn't care what the doctor's reports had to say. In fact, some people get all upset when the doctors say, listen, there's nothing else we can do. That, to me, is like game on for God to step in. And do you know how many times I've heard that? There's nothing else we can do. There's nothing else we can do. Key number eight, trust God's plan and his purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Listen, God's plan and purpose. I have prayed for more people that have died than have lived. So in John's situation, it was his plan, God's plan, to use this story to touch the world. But I want to tell you, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. John's going to die. Lazarus is going to die. so we can't be shocked when we pray for somebody and they die. We pray for somebody and they're not healed here. We pray for somebody, and I've talked to church folks who I'm so disappointed because I prayed and God didn't seem to do what I asked him to do. No, he didn't, but he had a different plan. And if your loved one stood before him saved, that's the greatest miracle that can ever happen. That's the greatest miracle. So stop looking at it in the perspective. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's difficult. But friends, you did not do anything wrong. You prayed and you ushered that loved one into heaven. And I've heard people say, well, I guess God doesn't heal. Yes, he does heal. He always heals. Always. Say that. He always heals. It may not be here, but it might be while they're standing in front of the throne. So don't ever get discouraged. Keep the right perspective. It has to be about eternity. It has to be about what we're looking ahead. Eternity is what matters most. So don't get discouraged. In fact, today, some of you need to let yourself off the hook because you said, I prayed, and they didn't get healed, and they still died. Some of us, we need to let God off the hook because that's how life is. Death is part of living, and it's not an ending. It's just the next chapter as believers. God always heals. God always has control of the situation. There's not one moment when God wakes up and goes, oh, man, I didn't see that one coming. He always has a plan, and you can rest in this. For this story of John, the days when I kind of get upside down in my own spirit, and there are days because this has not been an easy process. The warfare has been intense. To let you know, I mean, the very first thing that happened when the book was being released back 2 Octobers ago, I was sitting in a stoplight in St. Louis and sitting in my car coming off the freeway. I was stopped. A lady rear-ended me in a Chevy Tahoe going 60 miles an hour. And I thought, okay, this game is on. This thing, the enemy does not want this out. And I have to remember that God has been working on this plan for over 18 years with John. I mean, you think about God moved us to St. Louis for this story. I mean, you think about how God just puts everything together. And listen, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. He has not forgotten you. The plan that God has for you is incredible. Now, listen, this is not a checklist. It's not an equation. You know, sometimes we like to, in the world of Christianity, we like to go, well, if I just do these 7 things, everything's going to be okay. No, that's not what this is. What I encourage you to say, God, show me one area that you want to take my life. Show me one thing that you want to do inside of me that's new and that will help me to position myself for a miracle. Miracles are not about equations. It's not A plus B equals C. God would not do it that way because then we'd put our trust in the equation and not him. So I don't know how God's going to work in your situation, but I want to encourage you. I want to end it with one last story, and it comes from, it's such a picture in Scripture. And this is a Scripture some of you might be really familiar with, but I want to stop and I want to look at it from the filter of what we were talking about, and then we're done. I'm not going to go much longer. I know we're right there. I know. Thanks for hanging with me. We're going to go quick. And guess what? We'll still beat the Baptist to the barbecue, all right? So... oh, that's right. We don't live in St. Louis anymore. All right. To the Hawaiian hut. How about that? All right. Luke 8, 43, 48. Just a couple more minutes and we'll be done. In the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. Wait, stop for just a minute. 12 years. Think about the suffering that she had. 12 years. Sometimes we read over this so fast. 12 years, that's over a decade. 12 years, it's 4,368 days of living, 104,800. This lady lived with this issue of blood. Talk about somebody who had every right to say, I give up, I'm not going to do this anymore. This woman was still desperate. We read over that quick, but it's that sign. How was she going to position herself for a miracle? 12 years she'd have been afflicted with hemorrhages. She spent every penny she had on doctors, which is kind of our equivalent of WebMD today. She went on and did everything she could. Listen, WebMD, if you go on there, everything has the same symptoms. So don't worry. Yeah, I mean, just stay off there, right? She'd been to every doctor. She'd tried everything she could. And she'd heard that Jesus was going to be in town. So she slipped in from behind and she touched the edge of Jesus' robe. But wait a second, for just a minute. How did she get to where Jesus was at? If you go back, many of the Bible scholars would tell you that she lived about 30 miles away from where Jesus was going to be at. Now, I'm going to go 30 miles. Though that's great if you've got a Ford SUV with air conditioning. Okay? But this lady, she had an issue of blood. And it would literally mean it would take her 5 to 6 days to get to Jesus. Really difficult travel. So she was anemic. How many of you know we would have said, forget it. I've had to live with it already. There's not even any chance that I'm going to get healed. Not her, though. She took off on this journey. She was also an outcast. This issue of blood had caused her to be unclean. So even stepping into a crowd would have made it totally uncomfortable for her. She wasn't allowed in the temple, and she couldn't especially touching Jesus and the Jewish culture. So she got there. She traveled all this way. She was sick. She was probably tired, sick and tired. She was anemic. I mean, you just think about this woman, the kind of perspective that she was in, and she got there and Jesus was surrounded. If you've ever been overseas, you know there's no idea of personal space, right? They're like right there, okay? Jesus was surrounded. And how many of us, we would have said, I've come all this way. I'm sick. I've been sick for 12 years, and now I can't even get to him. That's it. I'm done. But not this woman. She knew from studying scripture, Psalms 91:4, it says, under his wings you'll find refuge, because she had grown up in the Jewish culture. Malachi 4:2 says, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. So why does she think that if she could just touch Jesus, that'll be enough? Look at the two scriptures I just read. Under his wings, you'll find refuge. And there's healing in his wings. That verse was written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for wing is kanapah. And kanapah is also the corner of a garment. She knew, if I could just touch him. If I could just touch. Listen, when you get close to Jesus in these situations, if you just touch him, it changes everything. Some of us, we need to get close to him. We need to get close to Jesus. If this man was the Messiah, all she had to do was touch the corner of his cloak. And she did. And at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. Listen, I believe God wants to do some very moments here today. You've walked in here and you've said, God, I need a breakthrough. I've prayed for 100 times. I'm telling you to pray 101 today. When no one stepped forward, at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? When no one stepped forward, Peter said, but Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens have touched you. Jesus insisted, someone touched me and I felt power discharging from me. There is so much power in his presence. That woman caught the eye of Jesus because she was willing to pursue and press in and to touch his garment, and it changed everything in a moment for her. Friends, do not lose that desire to press in. That's how we position ourselves for a miracle. Press in. Press into Jesus. Get in his presence. Jesus, though, insisted, someone touched me. I felt power discharging me. And she was so afraid. This woman was afraid because she was an outcast. She was a nobody. In fact, Jesus had been on his way to Jairus' house, who was a religious leader. And this woman literally stopped Jesus in his tracks. And in the process, Jairus' daughter died. Could you imagine what she was thinking? This woman, we don't even know her name. She was a nobody. She was a nobody. And in the sudden, Jesus stopped. And this nobody got his attention. And it completely changed the whole situation. Can you imagine the fear she had? She was an outcast. She was a nobody. When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden anymore, she knelt trembling before him. In front of all the people, she blurted out her story, why she touched him, and how at that same moment she was healed. Some of us, we got to get all the way open with God. We've been hiding things in our hearts, and it's time to say, God, here it all is. I'm going to lay it out on the table. That's exactly what she did. She laid it out on the table. And Jesus at that moment said, daughter, daughter. At that very moment, Jesus changed her from a nobody to a somebody. At that very moment, Jesus brought her into the family of God. When he said, daughter, it's the only time in scripture this has ever happened where Jesus took a nobody. You might be here saying today, Pastor, I'm a nobody. Why would Jesus want to touch my life? Why would Jesus want to break through for me? And I want to tell you, Jesus takes nobodies and turns them into somebodies. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter the mistakes you've made in your past. Jesus will break through no matter what you've done or where you've been at. He takes nobodies and turns them into somebodies. Jesus said, daughter, you took a risk in trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well and live blessed. And I'm telling you today, I want to encourage you, take a risk in trusting him. Take a risk in trusting Jesus with your situation. You might go, pastor, I'm saved. I've known the Lord for a long time, but maybe this is something that you can't seem to break through. Maybe you're at this moment where you're saying, God, I need you to be real in my situation. Take a moment and trust him. Say, God, I believe that you can do what you say you can do. I trust you. Lord, I know no matter what the outcome is, that you'll break through in my situation. Can we have the worship team come? I want to pray with you tonight, today. Will you bow your heads across this room? You might say, pastor, I'm here and I've never given my life to Jesus. The greatest miracle that can happen is when you take that moment and you give your life over to him and you say, Jesus, you drive and I'll ride. I want to give my life to you. It's that moment where you hand over and you say, Jesus, my life is yours. If that's you today, where you'd say, pastor, I need to give my life to the Lord. And you might have sat in these pews for 20 years and have never done this. Listen, just by going to church doesn't mean that you're saved. You say, pastor, today I need to give my life to the Lord. The Bible says all it takes is to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Say, Jesus, I trust you. I give you my life. Is there anybody here that would just slip up a hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, but just slip up a hand and say, that's me. I need to give Jesus my life. I need to hand over the reins of my life to him. Is there anybody here? Just slip up a hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Man, all of heaven is rejoicing right now. Thank you in the back. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Friends, we're going to pray together today. Will you pray with me? And you might say, I'm already saved. Let's pray just to encourage people. It's just a prayer of recommittal. Let's pray for the people. And just follow along in this prayer. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today, I want to make a declaration that my life is yours. Today I say, you drive and I'll ride. I give you all my mistakes. I give you all my brokenness. I give you everything that's me and ask that you would take over, that you would put my life back together again. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask one more thing today. And friends, here's the deal. As I was praying, and in my mind's eye last night, as I was praying for this service, I saw this room was surrounded by angels. And these angels were ready to go to work. They were ready for people to make requests and to go and do and to move. They were warring angels, and they were just like right on the, they were ready to move, and they were just waiting for people who would say, man, today I need breakthrough in my life. That the people that would step out of their comfort zone. And I believe today God is going to break through situations like never before. And here's what I'm going to ask you. Will you stand across this room right now, everybody? Everybody, just stand. Come on. Just stand up. And I'm not going to beg you, but I'm going to just say this. If you need a breakthrough in your life, no matter what it is, if you need breakthrough, I want you to get out of your seat and come down around this altar. Come now. Come right now. Step out. Just come. You need breakthrough in your life, in your family. You need breakthrough in your job. You need breakthrough in your family. Maybe you have kids that are not serving God. Today, just like the lady with the woman with the issue of blood, she stepped out. She stepped out of her comfort zone. Come right now, if that's you. Come right now. Step out. And listen, some of us, we've had such a long haul. You might say, pastor, it's been so long. Could God still do this for me? Yes, he can. Today, God can still do it. Step out from wherever you're at. And we're going to just fill these altars. Let's just make lots of room. We've got lots of people still coming. So scoot forward. Man, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Will you lift your hands here? Right across this room, will you lift your hands? And I want you to begin sharing with God Begin to share with God what you're needing today. Begin to speak it out. Begin to just put it into words. You might say, I've told God 100 times. Tell him 101. Come on, just share it. Just let it get off your shoulders today. Some of you, you might be needing God to just really take all of the picture, to take all of what you're walking through. Come now. In fact, there's still time. If you need God to do a breakthrough in your life, step out from wherever you're at. And congregation, will you lift your hands? Begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray for our friends that are up here. Jesus, right now, Lord, there are people that are surrounding this altar, God, who are crying out to you. Lord, just like the lady with the woman with the issue of blood who reached out, God, who touched your cloak. Lord, they're here today. God, they're here today. And Jesus, I pray right now for breakthrough. Lord, I pray, God, right now, Lord, that there would be miracles that would happen. Miracles of healing, miracle of finances. Lord, that there would be healing of broken hearts. Lord, there's some here today that are around this altar, God, that have been abused and their lives have just, their whole life has just been marked with that. Lord, today I pray your healing touch. Lord, Holy Spirit, move right now in this crowd. I pray like a mighty rushing wind, we feel your spirit today. God, we feel your presence right now. Oh God, we thank you right now for what you're doing. Now friends, here's what we're going to do. Listen, we spend so much time telling God and giving him all the bad news, but right now we're going to turn this around and we're going to start praising him like he's already working, because he is. We're going to start praising him right now because he's working in your situation. Listen, I want you to lift your eyes up and begin to just worship him. Begin to worship him. Lift your eyes up. Lift your heart up. Begin to just worship him and say, thank you, God, that you're answering. Thank you, God, that you're moving in this situation. Come on. We got to be louder than that. Come on. Let's raise the volume just like Joyce did when she walked into that room. She wasn't quiet about it. She started raising the volume. Jesus, we give you praise. Across this room, can we give God praise that he's a God that still breaks through? Can we give him praise that God still shows up when we call upon him? Lord, we give you praise today. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this is not just a pep rally. But today, when you walk out of this place, it's a new mindset. It's a new perspective. You don't need to worry about it anymore. Hand it over to him. Listen, Monday through Friday this week, it's a new week for you. It's Independence Day from fear and worry and anxiety and all the things the enemy's been trying to do. This 4th of July is independence for you. It is Independence Day from all the stuff the enemy and the junk the enemy's been trying to bring into your life. You think fireworks are great? Wait till the fireworks in your life because of freedom. God bless you so much. Thank you.